Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
There are a number of reality television shows on various TV networks, some good, some not so entertaining, but one of the more longer-lasting and more interesting reality television programs is one entitled The Bachelor, which premiered in spring 2002 on the ABC network. As of today, there have been 16 seasons of ABC's The Bachelor, which has the format of approximately 25 attractive, intelligent, sexy women competing with each other for the attention of one very eligible bachelor. Each week, a certain number of the 25 women gets eliminated until only one woman is chosen as the bachelor's new girlfriend, or in some cases, his fiance. If there has been one controversy surrounding the show, it has been the lack of diversity in the men chosen to be the bachelor. To date, all the men have been Caucasian male. Well, in the next few weeks, that all could change. My guest tonight has launched a major campaign to become the very first African-American male selected to be The Bachelor. And if he is selected, many homes in America would tune in for the first time to watch a number of women competing for the romantic companionship of an educated and accomplished single black man. Who is this brother who is seeking to break new ground on one of television's most popular dating and relationships programs? His name is Lamar Hurd. And tonight, Mr. Hurd is going to share with my listening audience and I some of his reasons for pursuing this particular endeavor, as Mr. Hurd takes time out of his very busy schedule in order to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this A. Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in the race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on, because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode One. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Time.
ain't no way I'm one with the sunset. I have become alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life. For life. For life. Cause in this moment I just feel so alive. 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 I wish that I could have this moment for life. For life. For life. This is my moment, I just feel so alive. 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 Alive.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, May 10th, and I'm going to be doing something tonight for only the second time in the last 5 years. And that is, I'm actually going to be having two shows in the same night. Two shows in the same night. If you've been a long-time listener, yeah, I've only done that once before, and that was actually the Thursday after Michael Jackson passed away. I had two episodes in the same night. For the first hour, I'm going to be interviewing a gentleman who is a top candidate to be selected as the first black Bachelor, first black man on ABC Network's reality TV show, The Bachelor. If you've been a fan of The Bachelor for a while, you notice that pretty much every season it has been, The Bachelor has been a Caucasian male. I don't think they've ever had a Hispanic. I don't think they've ever had an Asian. And I know for a fact they've never had a black man. He is one of the top candidates, and I'm going to be interviewing him. But because of his busy schedule, he cannot stay for an entire show. So like I said, my interview with him will only go up until about, I want to say, 7:55 Pacific time, 10:55 p.m. Eastern time. But then right after that, I am going to be interviewing another guest by the name of Wendy Williams. Not the Wendy Williams, not the black one who says, "How you doing?" No, not that one. This is a woman. She lives actually in Vienna. She lives in Austria, Vienna, Austria. And she's going to be talking about the globalization of love, romance, and sex. How people nowadays are dating people in other countries. So that will take place in the second hour of tonight's show. Now, I have to be honest, I'm going to have to keep my, you know, I'm going to have to keep my composure tonight. Because anybody who knows me knows I'm a major sports fan. And the teams I'm really into, I'm really into them. That includes on the college level, my alma mater, the Indiana Hoosiers. When they win, I'm super-duper excited. When they lose, I'm usually very dejected. On the professional level, I'm like that with the Bears and the Bulls. And, man, the Bulls lost tonight, man. That's tough. This second pro team in a row. If you're a Chicago fan, you feeling me. You know how I'm feeling right now. Because almost the same thing that happened to the Bears happened to the Bulls. The Bears, we were like 7-3 at one point, and then our quarterback went down with an injury. Then our top running back went down with an injury. Then we just like sucked the rest of the season. We didn't even make the playoffs. And same went on basketball. We had the number one record in the league. And then at the end of the first game of the playoffs, Derrick Rose, our top player, went down with a season-ending knee injury. And then a couple games later, our center, starting center, Joakim Noah, he went down injury, and man, that's just hard to swallow, man. I mean, I'm the type, if we get beat, if my favorite team gets beat by a team that's just better and everybody on my team played their best, I can deal with that. I mean, I'm going to still be dejected to a degree, but I can deal with that. But I hate when my team loses because of something like that's out of their control, such as injuries. I mean, that's just, it's just, it just sucks. It sucks that the Bears season ended primarily because of injuries, and it double sucks that the Bulls season ended primarily because of injuries. But as the user sports phrase, that's the way the ball bounces. I guess I just got to, you know, take it like a man. But anyway, I mean, if you hear some dejected tones in my voice, it's because of that. I thought they were going to win tonight. They lost by 1 point. I thought they were going to win tonight, and they didn't. So I will not be watching the rest of the NBA playoffs. It is over for me. I hear about it from my friends and whoever else, but I'm won't be watching any more games. Anyway, back to dating and relationships. To tell you what's coming up the rest of the next week, the rest of the month, I should say. Again, I have another show right after this, so I'm doing two shows in one night tonight. Next week, I'm going to have two guests on my show, George Pappas and Patty Summers, and we're going to be talking about polyamorous dating, the ups and downs, benefits, drawbacks, pros and cons to polyamorous dating. And so that's going to be the topic next week, May 17th. Then May 24th, this is going to be a touchy subject. The last time I did a show with this topic, I got more letters and emails from female listeners than probably maybe any other show I've done. What we're going to be talking about in 2 weeks is, should a woman let a new boyfriend know about her, all the details of her sexual past? Should a woman let her new boyfriend know all the details of her sexual past? I did a show similar to that in March of 2010. It was actually called Soul Ties and Premarital Promiscuity. And we talked about the idea of women letting men know about their sexual past. Women went crazy. I mean, I've been doing my show for 5 years. I can honestly say that episode, when I did that episode, that's the most heated letters, Facebook messages. I actually lost some friends on Facebook because of that episode. Because that episode ended up turning into this heated discussion thread on my Facebook page, and it got ugly. I had to unfriend about two or three male friends because they said some stuff that was, I felt was very rude and mean to some of the women, and some of the women actually unfriended me because of the way the discussion went. So, because a lot of women, I don't know if you know, if you're a man, I don't know if you notice, women do not like to talk about their sexual past. This is what I always say. If you're dealing with a man casually, that's when you should keep your sexual past to yourself. If you're dealing with a man casually, that's when you should keep your sexual past to yourself. But if you're dealing with a man more seriously, I'm just the opposite. That's when I do feel like you should reveal things about, if you're asked. Now, I don't think you should volunteer information. I don't ever think you should volunteer information to a new boyfriend. But if he asks you, yes, I think you should tell him. So that's going to be my discussion 2 weeks from now. Join me for that one. I can almost predict that's going to be a heated discussion. Because like I said, when I had that discussion 2 years ago, man, yeah, women, man, they were often, I got some angry letters after that episode. And then finally, on May 31st, I will be celebrating 5 years. 5 years on Blog Talk Radio. I'll be celebrating my 5th anniversary on Blog Talk Radio on May 31st. My first episode ever on Blog Talk Radio was on May 29th of 2007. And so May 31st, I'll be celebrating 5 years on Blog Talk Radio. Right now, I'm going to take an intermission break. But when I get back, we're going to get the conversation started with my guest for the evening. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
What you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates?
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry,
right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the number one talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. I got love for all my listeners, but you know I got special love for my chat room listeners. I got Diva, 362636. She's in my chat room. I got Eddie Barbosa in my chat room. I got Black Man USA in my chat room. I got Aaron 2213 in my chat room. I got a number of guests in my chat room. I got Stan 14057444 in my chat room. I got The Man UL in my chat room. And I'm sure some of my other loyal listeners will be making their way into my chat room. Other quick shout-outs would be my older brother, Ace Confidant Stephen Curry, Irvin V. Pulliam III in Seattle, EVP3, all the lovely ladies of my female supporters group on Facebook, and many others. But right now, let me get, since he has limited time, I want to get right to asking him some questions. So let me get right down to introducing my guest for the evening. He was born and raised in Houston, Texas. A lot of people don't know, Houston is the largest city in the country, not population-wise, but in terms of square mileage, it is the largest city in the 48 continental United States. Only Anchorage, Alaska is bigger, so that's a big old city, but that's where he grew up. But he moved to Oregon in 2002 to attend Oregon State University, and he was a hooper. I'm going to ask him about injuries and hooping, man, because I'm hurting over the Bulls losing. But yeah, he was a hooper for Oregon State University, and after finishing his career as both a student and a basketball player, he graduated with a communications degree. He went on to Europe to play professional basketball. Then he came back after about a year or two and settled in Portland, Oregon, and began coaching kids at a local basketball facility. And he just immediately fell in love with the little guys he was working with. And he just decided that that was, you know, at least for now, his life's calling, his life's work. He's been doing it since. He created his own youth basketball organization called All in One Basketball, in which he is the co-owner. And that provides him with a lot of gratification, a lot of fulfillment, seeing these little guys mature into preteens, teenagers, and their full life ahead of them. He was also, in 2008, he was part of the four-man hiring committee that selected President Obama's brother-in-law, Craig Robinson. That's Michelle Obama's older brother, or is it a little brother? I think it's an older brother, as the new Oregon State University basketball coach. And that was also the same year that my guest for the evening began his television career with Fox Sports as a college basketball analyst, and he is still doing that today with Root Sports. So on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for Mr. Lamar Hurd.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I could get used to that kind of introduction. You made me sound like I was somebody.
Hey, I always tell my guests, because, you know, actually a lot of, like you know, the way I introduce them, but I say, you know, I try to only invite people on my show who deserve a lot of kudos, and you are one of those brothers. So, man, I'm going to be firing some questions at you, because I know you're a busy man with a busy schedule. I know we got limited time, but first I got to ask you just off the bat. This ain't even related to why I invited you on the show, but I start off telling my listening audience, I'm hurting right now, man, because I'm a lifelong Bulls fan, man. And
I hear you.
They got eliminated tonight, and you know, everybody knows a large part of it had to do with injuries. First, let me ask you, through your career, whether it was high school, college, or afterwards, did you ever have an injury in your season?
It's crazy, man. My biggest injury probably came at the most important time of my playing career. It was my senior year at Oregon State, 2006. We just started Pac-10 play. We just went on the road at Cal, which was a really good team. We had one on the road there in year. And then we beat Arizona at home, which is a yearly power in the Pac-10 and actually in the whole country. And we were playing Arizona State at home, and we're in the second half of the game, and I feel like my groin area is kind of tight. And I was always a player that I didn't stretch a whole lot before games, you know, because I always felt pretty loose and I could just get out there and get warmed up. But I felt a little tight and didn't think too much of it. So I asked my coach for a sub because I wanted to come out and get it checked on. Coach sent somebody to the half-court line ready to sub in for me before the ref could blow the whistle. We can get an intermission. I came down on the play. Shot clock was running down. I had to make a play at full speed. Ended up ripping my groin. Tore a ligament in it, fell down on the court, and that was it. My season was done.
Wow.
So that's the – yeah, it's crazy. That's the only real injury that I've had where I've had to miss a substantial amount of time. But, man, I feel for D-Rose. I feel what you're going through, man. I'm a D-Rose fan. I like the Bulls. John Lucas III is a Houston native, a guy I almost went to Baylor University with.
Okay.
So yeah, man, I'm feeling for the Bulls.
Yeah, man, it's – but I guess, you know, you got to say it's part of the sports life as an athlete.
Yeah,
it is. I'm hurt.
It is. That's what makes it tough to win a championship. You know, everything got to fall in place.
Exactly.
And for them, you know, they can't win it without D-Rose and even Noah. They need a whole crew.
Now, let me ask you, when was the first time you even ever heard of the show? Did you watch the basketball like the first or second season, or did you just find out about it, like, say, a few months ago?
No, when I was in college, I think that's when it was starting up. I went to college in 2002, and I think the show started sometime around there.
Yes,
and
spring 2002 was when it first came on the air.
Yeah, so I heard of it, but honestly, I never even watched it until I got back home from Germany in 2007. I don't even know why I started watching it. I just had some friends here in town. They would watch it. And so I would watch it with them sometimes. So from about 07 to 2010, I watched it a little bit. And it was just, you know, it was just entertaining. I have some female friends that, you know, they girls make a night out of that whole thing. And, you know, it's just fun to sit there and watch and listen to some of their comments. But after 2010, I kind of, you know, I was kind of over it. And my schedule got a lot busier. So I just didn't really make the time to watch it anymore.
Now, I'm gonna throw out a name, and I want you to tell me how this relates to your campaign of wanting to be a bachelor. The name is Tammy Black.
Tammy Black. That name relates because she's the reason. So from that time in 07 or 010, when I said I'd watch it with some friends, there'd be a lot of times we'd be sitting around, and, you know, they would joke that they're going to get me on The Bachelor, and I didn't really care about it like that, and even I sometimes would joke around and be like, man, if I was on this date, I would do that different, do this different. But it was never enough to really pursue it and be serious about it. So I've been in Portland since 07. And during that time, in my youth basketball organization, there's a lot of ladies in the organization. We're all really family-oriented. And they're always trying to figure out who Lamar is dating. And so many times they want to play the hookup game. They want to do this, that, the other. And it's like, come on, y'all. Like, I'm not talking to anybody. You know, I'm not dating anybody. And so one night I'm at Tammy's house, and we're just having a barbecue, and she and her sisters are down at the other end of the table. And one of the sisters blurts out, Tammy, you've been trying to get Lamar on The Bachelor. So I dig through the whole conversation really quick, come to find out Tammy had been sending in applications, been nominating me, been trying to get me on. And so my first response to that was like, Tammy, come on now, like, quit playing. Like, this ain't a time to try to hook Lamar up. I don't feel like playing the games. But throughout a little bit of conversation, it became really apparent that she really cared about it. Like, she really wanted to try to find somebody for me. You know, I talked to Tammy more than anybody else with her as my assistant. I talk to her every day, several times a day. And she knows my schedule. She knows what I do. She knows how much I work. And she really wants me to find someone to complete that other side of my life. So in talking to her about it, I told her, I said, all right, if you could somehow figure out a way to grab people's attention and get something stirred up with them, then I will do my part. I'll make an audition video. I'll meet with whoever I need to meet with. I'll talk to whoever I need to talk to. But I just really don't want to do the background work on it. So she got it going.
Mm-hmm. Now, How do they? I guess you're familiar with the process now. I've never known. I mean, do they do like kind of what, a nationwide search, or do they just accept a certain few applications? Well, how does it work?
Yeah, so they have casting calls. They have casting calls in different states, different areas where people can go and try to audition, basically. If you ever watch an episode, when they go to commercial break, you'll see one of their promos is the host of the show coming on and saying, do you know a guy or girl who can be the next bachelor or bachelorette? Go on ABC.com and nominate them. And so that's another way to do it. But really, and people who have watched the show the past few seasons, they know this, the show will typically take a contestant from the previous show to be the next bachelor or bachelorette. So I'll give you an example. Right now, The Bachelorette is taking place. It's going to start airing next Monday. And that's the show where there's one girl to 25 guys. Typically, what the show will do is they'll take one of those 25 guys, either the runner-up or a guy who comes out to be the star of the show, mm-hmm. and that guy will be the next bachelor.
Okay.
So that's how it's gone the last few years. So in the event that I somehow get picked, this would be a pretty big shakeup, not only from the Black Bachelor side, but just from the point that it's an outsider coming in.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, I haven't kept up with the show every season, but actually there has been at least a couple seasons. I watched, I want to say, yeah, there's been at least one, if not two seasons. I watched from like the first episode to the last episode. But anyway,
yeah.
I vaguely remember that happening, that, yeah, because I remember the first time they ever did The Bachelorette, she was on The Bachelor. And she was one of the top runner-ups. Matter of fact, she went to my alma mater, which is Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay.
And, and then they selected her as the bachelorette. And I remember some of the bachelors, like you said. So that would be interesting. What would it mean to you, Lamar Hurd, if you were indeed selected to be the first Black bachelor?
Plain and simple, I see it as an opportunity for a couple of things. One, of course, to potentially find a girl. Do I think I need to go on this show to find a girl? No. I think that at the right time, God will lead me to the right girl, whether that's on the show, whether it's somewhere else. I know the show doesn't have a high success rate for relationships staying together, but there are people who have gone on the show, and then from that, they've met someone through either a previous show, you know, once you kind of join that bachelor family, or you just kind of get out and open, you begin to meet other people. But a bigger opportunity for me is just a chance for me to show people kind of how I do things. I think with me being a leader and a mentor to a lot of the kids I coach, it makes me reflect back on my experience as a kid. I grew up with my coach. So in the sixth grade, I left Houston, Texas, and moved up north and moved into this house with a guy who was my coach, stayed with him all throughout the week. I would only go home on weekends to see my mom. It got to the point where my mom was like, okay, he's serious about this. So my mom ended up moving the whole rest of the family up to where the school was that I was attending, and I spent the rest of my grade school years, of course, with that coach before going off to college. But throughout that period of time, I learned a lot from this guy. I saw him date his girlfriend. I saw him get engaged. I saw them get married. And I admired the whole thing. I admired the way he did things. You know, he's the one who taught me that before you go date somebody, you go ask their parents if they're okay with you dating them. You know, he taught me you pull out a chair for a lady, you open up her front door before she gets in the car. So there's a lot of things that I picked up from him that I see as an opportunity if I got on the show, that not only to show my kids this kind of how you date, but whoever else is going to be watching. So that's kind of the biggest appeals and draws for me to the show. And if I don't get on the show, it's okay. You know, it's not going to be the end of my world. I'm going to keep doing things the way I do them.
Now, man, I got a simultaneous compliment and criticism for you.
All right.
Well, I don't know if the criticism would be towards you as much as it would be towards your geographic area. Well, let me ask you first. How's the social climate and dating scene in the Portland, Oregon area?
Specifically, what you're asking.
What's that?
I said, specifically, what are you asking?
I was asking, how's the, what you would call the dating scene in Portland? The reason I'm asking, because, you know, I'm going to give you some kudos as just a fellow man, and then, you know, some of the women who listen to my show, they've seen your picture. You know, you're a handsome brother. So it ain't like, you know, you like Quasimodo from, you know, you know, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. You know,
I appreciate it.
I have a hard time believing that you ain't just got honeys, you know, throwing themselves at you. So you telling me there's just no honeys in Portland, Oregon?
No. So I'm not going to tell you that there's nobody, I won't say throwing themselves, but making themselves available. That happens, but I say no a whole lot more than I say yes.
Okay.
And, you know, the reason that I'm not with somebody now isn't because I'm not capable of having someone, or even that there aren't, you know, pretty girls here or smart girls. It's just I don't feel like I find my match.
Okay.
And I think a lot of times what people do, the mistake they make, if someone either turns them down or it just isn't filling them like that, you know, they think it's something on them. And, you know, I would say just make sure that you know what you have to offer. So if I went after a girl and she decided that she didn't want to date me, in no way would I feel like I'm not adequate enough. I would just know that, man, I'm just not that girl's match. For whatever reason, she's not feeling me like that. She doesn't want me. And I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. And so what happens around here a lot for me is there have been some girls that have made it clear that they're willing to go on a date and whatever the case may be, but there's only one girl here in this entire area that I've dated, and that was just recently. And, you know, even that was really short-lived because she and I, we were just at two different places in our life, and we realized that we're totally cool right now. I'm actually going to see her Saturday. We're going to go out to lunch this Saturday. But the dating scene, it's alive for other people. I mean, it's plenty of other people that's together and talking and getting engaged, getting married. It's just, you know, I haven't found the person for me yet.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, if you want to call in and ask my guest Lamar Hurd a question or make a comment, you can call in at 646-478-5710. Now, he's not going to be able to stay with me the whole show. He's only here up until roughly about 10:55 Eastern, 7:55 Pacific time. So call in right now, and if you call in, press the number one. That way I know that you have a question or a comment to make for my guest, Lamar Hurd. Okay, well, that was good feedback. I actually agree with a lot of what you said, because I tend to say a variation of that here on this show, is that I tend to tell, I don't know if you know, in addition to hosting the show, I'm a book author.
Yeah.
And I've written three books, and one of the advice I tell guys is never allow yourself to get bent out of shape over rejection.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
mean it's not an indictment on you, and that's what you pretty much express. So I feel like that's good feedback for a lot of guys to hear. Like you said, you're just not that woman's match. Now, speaking of rejection, though, if you get on this show, that's a tough thing about this thing, the Bachelor, Bachelorette. I'm like, wow. Because usually on the Bachelor, he starts with 25 women. The Bachelorette starts with 25 men. So that means basically when it's all said and done, 24 women are getting rejected by Lamar Hurd.
Yeah.
Can you handle rejecting that many women?
I wouldn't want to. You know, I'm the kind of person, I don't like being mean. I don't like hurting anybody's feelings. But all 25 of those women who sign up for the show know what they're getting into, and they all know they're signing up for the possibility of being rejected. So it might be hard. There's some things that are going to be hard regardless, but I'm going to have to do what I got to do. I can't take everybody.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's funny, because if you go to Wikipedia and even some articles on the internet and look up The Bachelor, the one strike against The Bachelor has usually gotten pretty good ratings and pretty good feedback from the viewers. But their one, you could say, little source of controversy is the fact that they've never had a minority candidate on either The Bachelor or Bachelorette. And the producer, I want to say his name is Spice.
Yeah.
He's even quoted as saying, one of the reasons we've never had any minorities is because we never get any applications from, and I guess you've proven that wrong, because But he claims, according to this quote I read, he said, we've never really had any black man, Hispanic man, Asian man apply to be a bachelor. He said, I would love to have a minority candidate. Now, I don't know if he's just saying that to sound, you know, politically correct. But here's where it gets a little, I'm going to ask you a couple of little sensitive questions here, because this is what's going to be interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because I worked in the entertainment industry. I used to live in L.A. for 6.5 years. Okay. And I know how television is, as well as the movies. Let's say you were selected.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a brother who's open to dating women of all races, or would you ideally want all 25 women to be African-American or biracial?
So I'm glad you asked that. I was on Tom Joyner Morning Show probably a month ago, and I think an inaccurate picture was painted of me and my dating preferential and even my dating history. So I am the type of person that when I'm looking to date somebody, I'm looking for somebody that I could potentially marry. That's why I've had 3 girlfriends. That's why I've been in Portland for the last 5 years, and there's only one girl that I dated. Like I said, I'm really all about finding my match. So when you talk about finding your match and somebody you can marry, now we're talking about soulmates. And when you're talking about the soul, you're not talking about an exterior. So if you ask me what kind of girl I like, which I'm sure you might ask me a little bit later on, which I'll gladly explain, my first descriptions aren't going to be stuff on the outside. Now, looks do matter, but I'm not going to take the finest girl just because she's the finest girl if she don't have the finest heart. And a lot of people didn't believe that when I would say that kind of thing. And evidence of that was the last girl I dated. The last girl I dated was beautiful. I mean, she's gorgeous. She's a girl. She's, I don't know if you have, like, Instagram and all that stuff, but she got, like, 6,000 followers on that. That's like celebrity numbers. But that's just because everybody just wants to see this girl. But the first time I met her, I wasn't really feeling her like that. And the first day, I didn't get her number, none of that stuff. It wasn't until after she and I had a really in-depth conversation, and I found out, oh, she's kind of smart. Okay, she's got a little ambitions in life. She's got some stuff. She's got some substance to her. From that point on, that's when I began to pursue her. So with all that, I'm open to dating different races. Now, growing up in Houston, I got a black mom. I got a black daddy. My friends growing up were black. The school I went to was 90% black. It wasn't in the hood or nothing, but we were just in a black neighborhood. Naturally, due to that, I'm, of course, attracted to black girls. That's kind of my preference growing up. Now, of course, as you get older, you get into more diverse situations. You go to college, you go to Europe, you start seeing the rest of the world. I become a lot more open to other races. I was never against anything, but now I'm immersed in different races, whereas before it's just only black people. That's all I knew. So I'm not the kind of guy, if the bachelor said, well, we're going to give you just 25 black girls, I'm not going to tell them, well, no. You know, that's I can't tell you how to run your show. The same thing if they say, I'm going to give you 25 white girls. I can't enforce that. No, you guys got to put this and other. If they ask me, what's your preference, Lamar? I'll say, well, here's the type of girl that I like. Now, let's go out. If we could find girls in different races with these colors, then great. Because my first girlfriend I dated was black. Second girl I dated was white and Filipino. Third girl I dated was Cambodian. So all those girls are different, but they did share some of the things in common that were internal. But externally, they were totally different.
That was good feedback, brother. Yeah, because, you know, again, I lived in L.A. and West Coast.
Yeah.
West Coast is a little different, I think.
It
know.
Is a little different.
Because West Coast, you know, cities like Portland, Seattle, even L.A., Phoenix, interracial relationships is almost the norm. It's very much accepted. But one thing I know, again, though, about the entertainment industry, in many ways, they try to please and accommodate what's known as middle America, which is where I live. I live now in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And middle America, I ain't going to say all of middle America, but there's factions of middle America. And they ain't feeling you know, so they might, some of them might lose their mind seeing a brother on national TV in a hot tub with two white women.
Yeah, I already know.
But the thing is, where I'm thinking, and I guess I'll get your feedback,
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, it's going to be tricky either way, because if they were to give you all 25 black women,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the TV exec type people might feel like, well, how are we going to maintain ratings? Because they
yeah.
you know, obviously everything in TV is about ratings.
Yeah.
And they might feel like, you know, Caucasian viewers won't watch the show if they see all black people.
Yeah.
But then again, yeah. the other flip side of that is if they make it very diverse, say, I don't know, 40% white women, and well, they probably have some Asian women in there too. They might have some Spanish, but then they might
yeah.
feel like, you know, the real conservative types. So it would be an interesting dynamic. I would be
yeah.
very, I'll tell you this, I would be watching every single episode.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping you do get selected, because,
well,
man, I haven't really watched that show since maybe the second or third season.
Yeah.
But
well,
if I saw you on there, man, I'd be like, man, call me back as the Bachelor Gray. Come on, I got to see you. What's the bug?
Well, I think that'd be you and a bunch of other people. One thing I said is, you know, with them probably potentially choosing to go with the African-American, whether it's me or somebody else, the moment they do, as long as they make the right pick, then I think what they're going to do is they're going to bring on a new base. They're going to bring on a brother like you that didn't watch the show for years, and now you're like, all right, now I got to see what's going on. I think you bring on a new base to watch the show, and if it's the right pick, it's somebody that can also keep your current base intrigued. So now your ratings kind of go up, and now you got to entertain the show that people are tuning in to see. And I think the most dramatic thing that people are going to be waiting to see is if there's a diverse cast of girls, who's the guy going to pick at the end? Is he going to pick? And it ain't going to have nothing to do with what kind of girl is it. It's going to be, is she black, white, Latina, or Asian? You know, that's what it's going to come down to. That's going to be the dramatic aspect of it. So I would predict that if I got selected, or if another male of color got selected, that they would diversify the group of women just to keep that dramatic aspect of who is he going to pick at the end.
Yeah, you know, wow. I mean, this is, you just got my mind ticking, because it's so funny, because, well, it's, everything you said is so valid, you know, because
yeah.
I'm much older than you.
Yeah.
And you do have a mature demeanor, because I heard you're only like, what, 27, 28 years old?
28.
See, so you're a young brother. But one thing I found in my life
mm-hmm.
is that two things that you said. One, the whole drop dead gorgeous thing, man, that stuff wears thin in a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've hooked up with a number of women, if I say so myself, that were lookers.
Yeah.
But if the ones that didn't have any substance, man,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that looks wore off. So,
yeah, man, beauty is fleeting.
You know, so I give you kudos for recognizing that at such a young age, because truthfully, when I was your age, I probably was 90% about looks.
Yeah.
And the second thing on the race issue, yeah, man, when you're talking about a long-term relationship that's going to just last indefinitely,
mm-hmm.
if you are narrow-minded, you might miss out on your soul body. If you're a brother that says, I'm only going to date black women, who knows? A white
mm-hmm.
woman might be your soulmate, or an Asian woman
yeah.
could be your soulmate.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you got your head, a good head on your shoulders. So I definitely wish you the best of luck. Now, how did this campaign kind of pick up so much steam? Because I'm seeing you're getting a lot of media attention and press on this.
Yeah, yeah. The media's been really crazy. You know, I've had to clarify this a couple of times. A lot of people think that I've been pushing a certain campaign. And, you know, when somebody campaigns, they basically initiate. So they say, okay, I'm going to go to this spot. I'm going to pitch what I'm doing. I'm going to make this person aware, that person aware. But I haven't been doing, all I've been doing is responding. So if someone says, we want to do an interview, we want you on this TV show, we want you in this newspaper, then I say, okay, and then I do the interview or TV show or newspaper article, whatever it is. The whole campaign aspect of what's been happening started on Twitter. So there was a Twitter account, its address, @FirstBlackBachelor. 1STBLK Bachelor. And for the longest, people thought that that was me behind a Twitter account, but it wasn't me behind a Twitter account. I don't have access to that Twitter account. For the first month of that Twitter account's existence, I didn't know exactly who was doing it. I had an idea of who I thought was doing it. I figured it was somebody associated with Tammy, my assistant, because she knew that if we're going to do this, we got to get people's attention. But I knew it wasn't Tammy herself because she doesn't know how to work Twitter, for one. And then
you just called Tammy out.
Yeah, I had to. She would admit it. She would admit it. She's on Facebook for days, but when it comes to Twitter, she don't know how to do Twitter. So I knew it wasn't her. So now I'm thinking, well, okay, it's one of my boys. I got a boy that I do a lot of stuff with here in the city, and this seemed like something that'd be right up his alley. But there's times when I'm just in a room with this guy, and he don't have his phone out or nothing, and then I get a tweet from First Black Bachelor. So now, of course, my head is like, okay, who's doing this? Who's behind it? So I'm guessing. I can't figure out who it is. A month into it, I meet the person, find out who it is. It's one of my friends, but the person just wants to remain anonymous until basically a bachelor verdict is reached. It just doesn't want his name out there. So that is what really got the campaign going. So from that Twitter account, we started getting messages from some of the bachelor producers, some of the people from the casting, some of the former bachelor and bachelorette contestants. Started communicating through that, and that's what got everything going. And then the time when stuff like really, really blew up was when Entertainment Weekly ran a story in early April, I believe. They picked up on the story, and after that, everybody picked up on it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know you were in Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, man. It's like, well, I don't know half of the stuff I'm in until somebody sends it to me. So, I just told this story the other day. It's a true story. So I'm talking to my mom one night. Mm-hmm. And my mom's just like, I can tell something's wrong with her, but she won't say what it is. And finally, she just comes out. She's like, how come you didn't tell me you were on a Wendy Williams show? You know, she felt like I was holding out information on her. And I was like, Mom, I didn't even know I was on the Wendy Williams show. Didn't nobody, you telling me that just told me that I was on the Wendy Williams show. So apparently, Wendy ran the story on one of her shows on her Hot Topics, and she talked about how the girls should be diverse if I got on. It's like she did this whole segment on it. But I didn't see it, and to this day, I still haven't seen it. And there's a lot of things like that I just don't see just because so many people picked up on it, which is, I mean, it's crazy.
Wow. Well, yeah, it's definitely, because, yeah, that's how I found out about it. One of my Facebook friends, that's how I found out about it.
Yeah.
Gave me a link and said, no, actually, I take that back. No, I went to Facebook. It was a Twitter friend. It was actually one of my friends on Twitter. He sent me a link. He said, we might have a Black Bachelor. And that caught my eye. I said, man, I ain't seen no brothers on this show. And then it was this article about you. And but, yeah, man, I ain't going to lie, man. I kind of hated on you when I first saw the article, but in a good way.
Oh, man.
But in a good way. But like I was telling you earlier, because I complimented you because, I was like, I expected to be some, like, kind of busted-looking brother. And I said,
oh, man.
I said, because I said something about this brother ain't dated nobody in, like, 3 or 4 years. I said, man, he's lying. This brother has a brother. I know he got women beating down his door. Don't tell me he's some lonely. I ain't buying
it. Don't worry about it. Hey, don't worry about it. Everybody thinks I'm lying. Then they got to find out the hard way. They'll call me 10, 11 o'clock on a Friday, Saturday, and they hear my TV playing in the background, and they realize, okay, he's not playing. He's really at the house just chilling. So don't worry, man. You ain't the first person to hate.
Hey, now, quickly, let me ask you, as I'm about to let you go, because I heard you going, you got a CNN interview. See, you're just big time now. Anything my listening audience can do to help your campaign other than just keep spreading the word of mouth?
Honestly, that's the biggest thing. Because, like I said, the way that this thing got to where it is from that Twitter account. That Twitter account got former contestants' attention. It got some of the producers' attention. Got me a phone call from them. It all started off of that. So people can go on the ABC website and nominate and do all that. But I think the reason that ABC and even The Bachelor even felt, a need to entertain this idea, at least, is because they saw the support that was coming in from it. So I think as long as the word keeps spreading, it gives me a better chance.
Okay. Well, brother, I'm behind you. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. And shoot, if I got any contacts still in Hollywood, I'm going to call them up and tell them, because I tell you, man, they'll get if viewers think like me, they're going to get a whole new, because, again, I ain't watched that show and I don't know how long, but I would watch every episode to see what Lamar going to do next. And so I wish you the best, brother. Thank you for coming through the show. And like I said, man, you got a good head on your shoulders, and I think that's going to bode well for you. I think it's going to really help you. I don't know what their specific criteria is, but if part of the criteria is being intelligent, articulate, with good character, shoot, man, you're on that show, brother. So
man, thank you. I appreciate that, Alan.
All right, man. So, Lamar, you take care, and hopefully – yeah, when you get selected for sure, I'm going to have you back on the show, and then we're going to talk about that.
Definitely. You got my word. If I get selected, I'm coming back on the show.
Okay. All listeners, right. That was Lamar Hurd, the candidate to be the first black bachelor, the first black man on the show, The Bachelor. Yes, indeed. After just talking to him now, I want him on that show. I want him on there, so I'm going to do whatever I can. Hey, Bulls fans, man, if you're hurting tonight, I'm hurting with you. Man, they broke my heart, man. It broke my heart, but, hey, what can you do? Have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I will talk to you next Thursday.